Eileen Isaacson is co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus and is a veteran LGBT advocate and one of the architects of marriage equality in this country. She's here to talk about the Orlando massacre and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Arlene.
Hey, Charlotte.
How did you first hear about the Orlando attack at Pulse nightclub?
Well, when I wake up in the morning, I always turn the news on. And having gone to bed late, I expected to find nothing in particular happening that morning and was stunned, horrified, as soon as I heard the news. Then I was supposed to take my daughter to her confirmation that morning, and I didn't want to tell her about it beforehand and change the mood of the day, so I waited until we got back home that afternoon and then sat and watched the news reports with her because I didn't want her to see it by herself, and candidly, I didn't want to watch it by myself, and I wanted to be there to try and answer questions, but then, of course, I quickly realized that how do you answer the unanswerable and explain the inexplicable, but I wanted to be there to try.
How do you think this horrific event will affect our community?
Well, I think it obviously, to state the obvious, it's devastating. We are in pain, we are sad, we're mourning and we're grieving and obviously mourning for the victims and their families. And I think we're mourning a little bit for ourselves too, for our people, for where we are in society at this point, for how we're not as far advanced in our treatment by society as some of our people may have thought, or all of us may have deluded ourselves into thinking. And so the hope that I have is that as we go through the different stages of grief, which may be a little different than what an individual goes through when it's done collectively and culturally, but hopefully as we go through the different stages of grief, we will turn our sadness and our pain, and in some cases our fear, into something stronger and better, something more resilient, something that may even be close to defiance, but a positive, a productive defiance. You know, for some folks in our community, for those who have been around for a while and lived through the bad old days when it was not in the least bit uncommon for our people to be the victims of brutality and being beat up and harassed and raped or murdered, when it was more common and even somewhat culturally accepted, if you live through those days, this feels a little bit like a deja vu all over again. And if you live through those days, this has a familiarity that we thought we would never encounter again and that we don't want our kids or LGBT youth to feel. But on the other hand, for the youth, it might be even worse because they came into a world where they have seen us achieve so much equality state by state and across the nation that I suspect some of them are going to be even more shocked than older GLBTs. I think there's a lot of folks, young and old, in our community who thought that we've achieved so much equality that there's not much left to fight for. And while I personally would disagree with them about important matters we still have left to fight for, I understand why folks think that. And the tragedy in Orlando really bursts that bubble. It's a hard, cold, cruel reminder that things can change in an instant and that there are still many, many, far too many people who hate us just for who we are.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward?
Well, there's no question we will move forward and we will survive, and I think we just have to take a moment and breathe in deeply and slowly before we all can recognize that. There was a show the other night on Rachel Maddow where she went through this sad history of the last few decades for our people. And it was a litany of all the post-Stonewall riot tragedies that have befallen us. Not just the Matthew Shepard one that we know on how horrific it was on an individual basis, but she reminded us of the gay bars that were set on fire and the things across the country that had happened which were too familiar and too close to what happened the other night in Orlando. And so it was a good reminder, even for me, who tends to follow these things, that we have to remind each other that We will survive. We will prevail. We are a very strong people. We've been through a lot. We've been through hell. And we will make it through this. We need to be resilient. And we need to help each other. We need to help our people. We need to help protect each other. And perhaps this will serve as an unfortunate but important reminder of that.
What advice do you have for LGBTQ teens dealing with this tragedy?
I think the most important thing we need to remember, ourselves and young LGBTs, is that we can't let this travesty allow us to turn to hate. We have to be careful about the blame game. There are some people who, of course, are going to want to blame the Muslim community, and we really need to avoid that kind of inappropriate, incorrect, downright un-American blame. It's factually inaccurate. The Muslim community has come out strongly denouncing what happened in Orlando. They are our friends and our allies. No religion has a corner on the market of being anti-LGBT, unfortunately. And to blame the Muslim community for what one guy does would be like condemning the entire white Christian world for the Matthew Shepard killing or the bombing in Oklahoma City. It's factually inaccurate, it doesn't make sense, and we can't allow ourselves to spiral down into that dark, dark hole. But on the other hand, I think it's also important to recognize that while some people say this shooter was inspired by things like ISIS, I think we have to be very clear that he was inspired by anti-gay rhetoric from across this country. That there are over 200 anti-LGBT laws filed across the United States with advocates that support them and anti-LGBT rhetoric that backs them up, and that you cannot have that much hateful rhetoric, hateful advocacy in our nation and expect it to not affect people. And people who are borderline psychologically, borderline politically, borderline violently, of course it's going to affect them, and of course it's going to motivate them. And the people who engage in that kind of anti-gay rhetoric and advocacy have to be held responsible, have to be held accountable, and we need them to notch it way down.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
The good news that we have to remind ourselves is that we are on a trajectory that's very positive and very good vis-a-vis our community. That there will always be bumps in the road, and this is hardly a bump, this is a chasm, just a total earthquake road-breaking chasm that's just happened in Orlando. But we need to remember that we can build a bridge across that chasm. We will build a bridge across that chasm. And because we're LGBT, it will be the most fabulous bridge anyone has ever built anywhere in the world. It'll be the most beautiful bridge anyone has ever built. And it will be strong, and it will be enduring, and it'll be gorgeous. And we have to remind ourselves, it's just going to take some time, and it's going to take some work, and you can't stop building the bridge in the middle. You got to keep going until you get to the other side. The other thing we need to remind ourselves is very important in my mind, is that we have to remember to use this horrible tragedy as a lesson for what we must not do to others, culturally and politically. Let this remind us that as we gain our equality and as we move up the ladder, so to speak, culturally of acceptance or politically of acceptance or politically of equality, we have to make sure that we pull others up behind us, that we don't diss other communities and groups, whether they're based on their religion or their race or their immigrant status or their economic status. We have to fight a religious extremist. And even if you're anti-abortion, you have to condemn people who shoot up abortion clinics and shoot up abortion doctors. We have to apply the lessons we wish to have applied to ourselves. We have to remember the importance of applying them to someone else. And that when one group in our nation is disenfranchised, when one group in our nation is discriminated against, when one group is treated unequally, we are ultimately all unequal.
How can people get information about how they can help and participate in events across our nation?
Well, I'm glad you're asking that. It is very important that we help the victims and their families and friends. To me, the best revenge against hate is to donate and to volunteer. So you can go to weareorlando.org and make donations there specifically to help the folks in Orlando who are living through this horror. Or you can contribute to your local LGBT organizations to help them organize moving forward. But it truly is the best revenge on those that would hate us is to help the organizations that fight against that hate.
What projects are you working on?
Well, there's two answers to that question. The Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, the organization that I co-chair with Gary Daffin, is working on a number of LGBT pieces of legislation as we have for the last 40 years, though Gary and I have not been doing it for 40 years, thank you very much. But we are working on trying to reach closure on the Transgender Equal Access Bill that we've been working on for several years now. We have legislation to ban conversion therapy, legislation to mandate that those who suffer from HIV lipodystrophy should receive insurance coverage for their treatment. We work on sex education, on HIV and AIDS work, on legislation dealing with LGBT seniors and LGBT youth, and of course, heading down the pike to fighting religious exemptions from right-wing anti-gay conservatives. So organizationally, we're doing that, and I hope that folks would consider helping us with that work because we are an all-volunteer organization. We do, I will brag for a moment, brilliant legislative work. We've been doing it for 40 years, and we are the best LGBT lobbying entity in this state, perhaps in most of the nation, if not in all of it. But we are all volunteer, and we need someone to help us pay our overhead, to have an office and to have supplies and equipment. So if folks would go to our Facebook page for the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus and push on the donation button, it could make a huge difference for us in the work that we do. As volunteers, we work very hard, even though we have full-time jobs doing something else, and we are expert at it, and we hope the community is willing to continue helping us do that important work. Individually, I'm a lobbyist and political consultant for a number of different organizations, from the ACLU, which parenthetically is a fabulous organization when it comes to LGBT issues. They have been in the trenches with us for decades and the best allies we could ever find. And I work on a number of other issues, solar energy and whatnot. And I'm on LinkedIn if folks ever wanted to see more about who I am or what I do, but mostly I hope that folks will go to the Facebook page for the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, because we do serve our community and need help funding our bare bones basic budget. And this is a moment in time when we need to support each other, and a moment in time when those who can't do the work hopefully will step up and donate to help fund the work that others are doing on behalf of our community.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I wish people would ask, how do you respond to the vitriolic lines from people like Donald Trump? I was asked that just the other day by someone. They said, well, Arlene, when Donald Trump responds to this, what's your take on his view of this? And as I've struggled to figure out the best way to answer it, I ended up turning to an old friend named William Shakespeare, who had this wonderful line in which he said, it is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And I think we need to be very careful when we listen to the Donald Trumps of the world and their vitriol, because they will only create greater divisions in this country. And we need to build bridges. We need to build the kind of bridges that will cross the chasm we're experiencing right now. And we need to build the kind of bridges that will last for decades and decades to come. And we can do it. We've done it before. We're in the process of doing it. We just need to keep on keeping on. A friend of mine, Patrick Guerrero, sent out an email the other day about Orlando, and he had a beautiful line that actually is guiding me through this trauma. He said that we will find true moments of grace in the midst of death and darkness. And to me, that sums up in a loving fashion, precisely what we need to do.